Murder Monday starts right now and it's brought to you by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Lower your heating bills with a professional insulation installation by CAMS Roofing and Remodeling. Visit CAMSroofing.com to schedule your free estimate.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. Call them. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Alex, what are you covering today for Murder Monday?
The barbecue killer. Nathaniel Barjona is born as David Paul Brown in the city of Worcester, Massachusetts in 1957. At the age of six, he starts picking at his scabs until his skin festers and then sucks the blood from the wound.
Guilty.
Right off the bat, you know, this guy.
Homie, don't play.
This guy is not normal. 6 years old, right?
Well, you don't pick your own scabs?
I don't. Well, picking, yes. Sucking the blood out, no.
You ever see what they taste like?
So his mom is called multiple times from his school, and they're telling her, they're like, okay, your son here, Nathaniel, he's got a weird little habit.
Hey, Pete, the picker over here needs to stop it.
They're like, it's upsetting both the children and the teachers. So there's some warning signs. 1 year later, in late July, Nathaniel invites a five-year-old neighbor girl to his basement. He tells her he has a Ouija board that can predict the future. When she follows him down, he tries to strangle her until her screams actually alert Nathaniel's mother, and she runs down and rescues her. But Nathaniel gets off with little to no punishment. At 13, he lures another six-year-old boy from the neighborhood to a hill outside and tells him that he wants to go sledding with him. Once they get to the secluded hill, Nathaniel ends up sexually assaulting him. During his senior year of high school, Nathaniel starts impersonating a police officer for the first time and abducts an eight-year-old named Richard O'Connor while he's on his way to school. He sexually assaults and strangles him inside his car, and a neighbor actually sees the abduction and assault from a window and calls the police. So officers rush to the scene. They rescue Richard O'Connor as he's unconscious and almost dead. Nathaniel is arrested and sentenced to probation. And just a few days before his graduation and the conclusion of his probation, Nathaniel just drives off to Hartford, Connecticut and impersonates a police officer again. This time, he abducts a nine-year-old girl and sexually assaults her in his car and then throws her out when she starts, like, freaking out. She starts, like, vomiting and stuff. A witness sees him toss the girl. She gets the license plates from his car, and Nathaniel is arrested again. But somehow the report on this arrest never gets back to his probation officer, and so he's just released from probation in May of 1976 with a letter thanking him for his cooperation.
Thank you for being so good. You've been really a good boy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much technology changes, because that would never happen now. Well, less
we
likely.
Hope not.
Less likely, but back then it's like,
well, just the lack of communication is very unsettling here between the different police officers. Or offices.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year, Nathaniel impersonates this time an FBI agent and abducts two boys coming out of a movie theater. He drives them to a secluded area and handcuffs them. Nathaniel, who weighs 375 pounds, leaves one of the boys in the car's trunk while he takes the other away and tries to strangle and suffocate him with his weight until he thinks he's killed him. But this is genius. The boy pretends to be dead and even is able to keep faking it when Nathaniel starts blowing cigarette ashes on his face. When Nathaniel leaves, the boy runs away and reports him to the police. Nathaniel is arrested again, and the boy that was in the trunk is rescued. This time, Nathaniel is convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to between 18 and 22 years in prison. But he is transferred to a state hospital where he tells psychiatrists repeatedly about having sexual fantasies involving murder, torture, dissection, and cannibalism. This is where he changes his legal name to the present one, Nathaniel Bar-Jonah. I told you he had a different name when he was born. And he starts saying that he wants to honor his Jewish heritage and that he wants to know what it's like being discriminated as a Jew, which is why he chose the name Nathaniel Bar-Jonah. I'm not sure. I don't know a lot of Jewish people, but I mean, I guess like Jonah must be a last name that's popular among Jewish communities or something.
I just thought maybe he changed it because he didn't like you hear people changing religions because of food in prison. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this isn't, like, for example, this isn't kosher. I want something else. Like, maybe they'd get a better type of food.
Right.
That would be me. I'm like, you know, I identify as this because they got the good meal today.
So that's what he says. He wants to change his name for that reason. He is released from the hospital in July of 1991. A month later, he sees a 7-year-old boy sitting outside a car outside a post office in Oxford, Massachusetts. Nathaniel gets in the vehicle and just sits on top of the boy, smothering him, but then runs away when he notices that people are watching. Nathaniel's description from one of the witnesses is recognized by one of the police officers who had arrested him 15 years before, and he's arrested again. Nathaniel claims that he entered the car to get out of the rain and that he was going to wait for the driver to get back, and then he was going to ask him to take him home. He said he didn't see the boy sitting in there and that him sitting on him was a complete accident.
You know what? Why is everybody looking at me right now, too? Because I remember being the fat guy, like, in school, not killing people or doing anything, but they're like, oh, Joe, don't sit up. What are you going to do, sit on me?
Well, later he admits...
When you sit on somebody.
Later he does admit that his intent was to kill the little boy, so he is given 2 years of probation under the condition that he moves with his mom to Great Falls, Montana, and that he never return to Massachusetts ever again. Well, in Great Falls, Montana, Nathaniel starts collecting toys and memorabilia, mostly Star Wars related, and organizes yard sales that draw massive crowds of children.
Oh my gosh.
In December of 1993, he gets accused of molesting an 8-year-old boy who he was babysitting, and then that case eventually gets dropped. So it's like every single time something happens,
how
he gets out
possible?
Of it.
How is that possible? These aren't accidental, like, no, dude, you were clearly trying to kill somebody or hurt somebody or assault somebody.
Well, here's the thing. On February 6th, 1996, 10-year-old Zachary Ramsey leaves his apartment at around 7:34 in the morning to go to school, taking his usual school route through an alleyway. Zach is wearing a blue denim jacket with green sleeves, a blue football jersey with his last name on the back in gold letters, stonewashed jeans, and black high-top sneakers. A family of three who lives in an apartment in the alleyway see Zach there that morning and also see an off-white 4-door car nearly run him over. Another witness sees Zach standing in the alleyway and that he appeared to be waiting for someone. Another witness who lived near the end of the alleyway sees Zach distressed with an obese adult man following him a few feet behind. Someone else says that they saw a large man wearing a navy blue police-like jacket. And somewhere in the alley, Zach Ramsey just disappears and has never been seen or heard from since. After police do some investigating, they figure out that Nathaniel had access to his mom's off-white 4-door 1978 Toyota Corolla the day that the boy disappeared, and that his mom and brother were out of town for a funeral. Police also discover that Nathaniel didn't work the day that Zach disappeared or for several days after. Detectives go and search Nathaniel's apartment and they find a list of boys' names, which included previous victims and the name Zachary Ramsey, followed by the word died. They also discover dozens of newspaper clippings about Zach Ramsey, but that isn't all that they found. When we come back, the creepy details that led to Nathaniel Bar-Jonah being known as the barbecue killer.
Murder Monday continues next. Wow, today is intense. Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Alex, there's photos up on our Instagram right now. It's at Joe and Alex Show. What can someone see up there right now?
You can see pictures of Nathaniel Bar-Jonah. You can see a picture of an interesting recipe, which we will get into. Also, a picture of Zach Ramsey then when he went missing, and then what he could look like potentially today.
Okay.
We left off with Nathaniel Bar-Jonah having his apartment searched after 10-year-old Zach Ramsey goes missing. Police find Zach's name on a list with the word dead next to it. There are newspaper clippings about his disappearance. They also find notebooks where Nathaniel describes torturing and eating children. The recipes in this book have interesting titles, too, like Little Boy Pot Pie, French Fried Kid, and Little Boy Stew. There are phrases like, lunch is served on the patio with roasted child. Detectives also find 3,500 sexual images of children in his apartment. Even weirder, after Zach Ramsey's disappearance, Nathaniel began to hold cookouts in his neighborhood where he served burgers, spaghetti, chili, meat pies, and casseroles to his friends and neighbors.
Nope, I don't want to know where this is going.
At most of the cookouts, multiple people told Nathaniel that the meat had an odd taste to it.
Nathaniel
would tell them that he had gone deer hunting and used venison in the dishes.
I've had venison.
But Nathaniel did not own a rifle or a hunting license, and he had never been deer hunting in his life.
Okay, I'm done.
When one lady told Nathaniel that she found the taste of his meat repulsive, he told her that he had personally hunted, killed, butchered, and wrapped the meat. Investigators did discover hair found inside a meat grinder in his apartment.
Okay.
But when the hair is tested for DNA, it was found to belong to someone, but not Zach Ramsey. They also found child bone fragments in his garage, which did not belong to Ramsey. The thing is, no one could even confirm, like, that these cookouts had supposedly happened. This is, like, rumor. So that is not in the police reports that part had happened. That's, like, rumor from people that have lived in that town
for
years.
Never going to a barbecue again.
Right. Well, authorities perform an excavation at one of his former residences, and they do uncover 21 bone fragments belonging to a boy between 8 and 13 years old. The house's pipes couldn't be examined because the neighbors who moved in afterward had changed them due to constantly being clogged. Because both of the remains found tied Nathaniel to African-American boys, Zach Ramsey's mom refused to believe that her son was dead or that Nathaniel Bargiono was responsible for his disappearance. Nathaniel ends up convicted for the other crimes and gets sentenced in 2002 to 130 years in prison without the possibility of parole. On April 13th of 2008, Nathaniel is actually found dead in prison from a heart attack related to his obesity. So Nathaniel Bargiono targeted children between 5 and 15. In most of his crimes, he drove a white car dressed in navy blue coats, jackets, and caps, pretending to be a cop. He carried toy guns and badges. And after getting the victims in his car, he would drive over to a secluded place, restrain them, and sexually assault them. Afterwards, he would try to kill them by strangulation or suffocate them using his own weight.
Mr. Bargiono, I was doing the math this morning, and I noticed that 10 years and 10 days ago, that a 10-year-old boy went missing. I wonder if you can tell me something about that.
Basically, what happens, according to the police reports I read, is that he was walking to school and never made it to school.
Do you have your own impression as to whether he's ever likely to come back or not? If you had to kind of put money on it, you know? Bet the farm, as they say.
I'd like to hope so.
Yeah, but that's not what I asked. We all like to hope so, right?
I don't think I'd take the bet, because I just don't know. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's just a level. I just can't.
It's my understanding that they found pictures of kids in there.
They found a lot of clippings.
We found boxes and boxes of pictures of children, cutouts.
What do you mean, clippings?
Clippings from magazines of various things. I mean, Christmas scenes, kids, adults, people in Halloween costumes. But it wasn't just kids like they implied.
But there were some of kids.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're working on these cases, you do get into their mind, and you have to get into their mind because they don't think like you and I. They're just masterful liars.
Had there been clippings of the missing boy?
No.
Stories, like newspaper clippings?
No.
In Bargiono's apartment, investigators found a collection of articles following the Zach Ramsey case.
So, from where you're sitting, it looks as if you're here under false pretenses, like they nailed you for something you didn't do?
I'm totally innocent. Of all the charges that they charged me with and the ones I'm convicted on.
He always maintained his innocence. And 3 years after he went to jail, Zachary Ramsey's dad ended up declaring his son dead. But Zach's mom vehemently disagreed with that and still to this day holds out hope that her son is alive. The National Center for Exploited and Missing Children, they came out with what would be like a computerized generated sketch of what Zach Ramsey would look like today if he is alive, which is what I was talking about. You can see on Instagram at Joan Alex Show. It was very, very interesting how they do that. That is just like some of the coolest science, I think. Using
it's like
science
how
for good.
How can they figure it out? It's usually like sometimes it's really accurate.
So, of course, we hope Zach Ramsey is alive. There are some weird just discrepancies to this case. It doesn't
look good for him. But this case is just so strange because
I'm looking at the photo right now. This is insane.
It's like,
what if there's a guy out there that looks just like this? Like, hey, that's my dad, or that's my husband, or that's my boyfriend.
It's just like there was always all this evidence, and they really could only prove that he had, you know, sexually assaulted those few kids, but they could never prove that he even murdered anybody. But it's just very weird, the evidence that they found. So anyway, go check out those pictures at Joe and Alex Show on Instagram. That is the Barbecue Killer case.